Welcome to the Calvary Baptist Church broadcast, presented by Calvary Baptist Church in Gainesville, Georgia. We are a small but growing group of believers in Jesus Christ and want to invite you and your family to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. The church is located at 1370 Calvary Church Road in Gainesville. And now to bring you today's message, here's Pastor Raymond Laddie.
And I want to talk about that in relation and context to Jesus today. Something I had never really thought about or looked into in depth is the restraint of Christ. Now, we'll lay some groundwork for this. I know for a fact that in today's world, we need people with more restraint on every level. We need people in government, definitely, with some restraint. About, you know, they have that will restrain from spending all of our hard-earned and hard let go tax dollars, amen, that would restrain from just saying ridiculously stupid things, and would restrain from just creating a lot of the problems that we have today. We need people that will restrain from just automatically resorting to acts of violence and acts of anger. It goes along with patience when you exercise restraint. You know, you'll hear that now. There'll be a, you know, some group will do something to, another group. And I heard this past week that, well, the two-year anniversary of the attack on Israel coming up, everybody always said, that's when that war started, Israel should exercise restraint. You know, they should exercise restraint and not be too overboard with their response. But I heard, based on their population in context with our population in the United States, the 1,200 people that they lost on October the 7th of 23, I believe it was, would be the equivalent of us losing 40,000 Americans in one day. So kind of gives you a little bit more of an understanding of the war they have had to wage. And we'll see how the peace plan comes along and what will happen. But I will say this, and I don't want to digress too much. No matter what Hamas agrees to do, there'll be Hamas and there'll be other terrorists who will rear their head against Israel. Because in Islam, they don't want peace. They want the return of caliphates. They want the Israeli people gone, wiped from the face of the earth. And they want Christian people gone and wiped from the face of the earth. So all these young kids that are out there, you know, screaming, you know, Free Palestine and all that, they have no clue. They're blinded, they're uneducated. They have no biblical basis, which very few people do anymore, about all those things. But that aside, I want to talk about the restraint of Christ, because it is a lesson for us as Christians as we try to make our way through everyday life. It is a challenge every day, we know that, but we have a great power to help us as we try to make it through every day and to make the most of every day and that time that God has given us. So I want you to first turn with me today to Colossians. We'll look at chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I want to first talk about the power of Christ, the unexplainable, unexpressible, if you will, power that Christ has. He has all power. He is all-powerful in all things. The impressive power of a nuclear blast is puny compared to the massive power on all levels that Christ has. A massive earthquake or a massive tornado, we're in awe of that power, does not compare to the power that Christ has. Human beings cannot handle power for very long. Very, very, very few, and we'll read about this here in just a moment, individuals, whether it be male, female, people in positions of power, can handle that. They become corrupt. They become, they begin to abuse that power. They begin to see themselves as something other than a servant to the people. Not so with Jesus. Jesus used his power in a unique way, in that he did not always use his power. And we'll explore that here in just a moment. But Colossians chapter 1, going to verse 13, I believe it is. If I get that right. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, says, For in him all things were created. All things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities. He created all these things. All things were created through him and for him. So you're created, you have been created for him. I want you to remember that as we go through this lesson today. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So without Christ and the glue that he provides in his power, if you will, everything would just unravel. That's why you're seeing an unraveling, if you would want to call it that, in our nation. Because Christ has been pushed out, and that glue of power and order and purpose and peace and redemption that he provides is being pushed out. So you see the glue of society and the fabric, if you will, of society begin to unravel. And that's what's happening at a more and more alarming pace. So in other words, what Paul is talking about is at the very beginning, there was God and there was Christ and there was the Holy Spirit. God spoke and Christ created. God spoke and Christ created. Baby Rose, for the past 9 months, has been knit together in her mother's womb. God spoke, okay, this blessing upon this family, and Christ began to create. And he wove all that DNA together and all the unique little qualities that are and will be little Rose Lynn Lance. And we should pray for that baby. Pray for her because she's entered a world that is much different than the world that my children entered, that is much different than the world that I entered, and is definitely much different than the world that my parents and grandparents entered. But who is not different is Christ and his reality and all things coming to pass in him and for him. And that gives me the ability and the peace and the desire to want to continue on to fulfill his will, not in my power, not in my talent, but in his mercy and grace to continue on and to hopefully further his kingdom. So you have Jesus who created. He spoke things. God spoke them. Jesus created. He wove together the cosmos, the stars, the everything that's been created on earth, including you. He created you. But now we have a society that said, well, we just exist. We're just kind of things randomly happened and came about. And that's being taught in our schools from the very youngest ages now all the way up to the higher so-called institutions of education. I call them institutions of indoctrination to the ways of Satan and those kind of things. But in Christ is power that is unfathomable. And I'm thankful for that. But think about this. Christ in heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father, or in heaven on the right hand of the Father, with all that power to create atoms, A-T-O-Ms, to create atoms. He created atoms, and he used those atoms to create Adam, A-D-A-M, amen? So all his creative power, he restrained it for a reason. It was not out of weakness. It was out of love that he became restrained. And we can show love by being restrained when the Holy Spirit leads us to be as well. So we have an unbelievably powerful, majestic God. Our human minds cannot fathom that power. We can see huge manifestations of it all around us in the world that we live in today. Seeing the moon come up in the evening, hearing the animals at night or in the morning or whatever, seeing the power that's out there now in technology, even artificial intelligence, that's being used more and more, and more people are talking about it. Christ and his power is far and away ahead of that and above that. Remember, they're trying to recreate God in human form. AI is the modern-day digital version of the Tower of Babel. If you know what the Tower of Babel is, it's what AI is. Now, there's going to be some benefits to it. But ultimately, I believe it will be used to try to thwart the final purposes of Jesus Christ. And it ain't going to work. I don't care who designs it. I don't care if it's Bill Gates or Elon Musk or any of these other people. They're not godly, most of them, or probably all of them, and God is above them and ahead of them and has all power. But out of love, Christ became restrained. He entered a human body. Think about that. Measure that out. That out of love and a desire to win us back after sin and evil had entered the world and the human race fell and creation fell into sin and separated us from God, Adam and whoever was there with him, Eve, and all of them were cast out of the garden, and guards were posted. Angelic guards were posted on the east to keep them out. They had to go and wander through a fallen world that Jesus would be restrained by his Father's will, and he would submit to that to become flesh and to go through all the things that he went through. Let's go back to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 22 through 24. Here we begin to see a contrast of some of the things that we have been talking about. What if God, Paul says to the Romans, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience the vessels of wrath made for destruction. Now, from a human standpoint, and even from the standpoint of how we think as Westerners and culture and the society that we live in, if you have power and might, you want to exhibit that, don't you? You want to show that. You want to show people what your money can buy, you know, it, as an example. You want to show people that you can buy a word, have people under you, whether you be a supervisor or a CEO or whatever you are, if you're just in charge of yourself or, you know, just in charge of your family, that you have, by a word, you can say something many times, and it will be done out of fear and out of worry many times from a worldly perspective. What if, and Christ exhibited this and showed this, the greatest use of power sometimes is to restrain that power for a greater good. Think about that. To restrain that power for a greater good. I'm talking about parents. Have you ever gotten so mad at a child for what they've done? I saw my sister just cut her eyes over at Eli. Just then, be careful. It's happened to all of us. You got so mad at your child that you're going to father to son, you want to punch them, body slam them, show them who the alpha is. You're the beta, I'm the alpha in this pack, okay? But you think back, you all of a sudden, maybe you stop, and or maybe your wife tempers that anger, I don't know. Or maybe the Holy Spirit does, and you think, you know, I did those same things. That boy is learning. Yes, there's going to be consequences, but I'm going to restrain from knocking the young man's block off, as we would say. Amen? I'm going to restrain. Out of that, you're showing love, you're showing patience, you're showing mercy, and you're showing grace. And that's what God did when Jesus became flesh. Listen, he left heaven. The throne room of heaven that is beyond compare in beauty, that is eternal, no spot, no blemish, no rust, no mildew, none of the things of decomposition, none of that stuff, nothing that smelled bad or looked bad or tasted bad, none of those things. He left it and became a vessel of flesh. Paul is saying, what if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, because let me tell you, what Paul is saying is, God, by every right, should show his wrath in a massively destructive way. Okay? Do you not think that Christ and the powers of heaven have been restrained over the state of this nation so far? We should have been obliterated decades ago. We deserve nothing good. We talked about thankfulness out of Numbers chapter 20 Sunday school this morning, how we're so unthankful and we demand and we're in a hurry and the I'm first. Jesus became the lowliest of the low to endure things to show what true power is, to show mercy and grace. Restrained power, leaders, fathers, mothers, politicians, whoever, restrained power that is righteous that Jesus had is the ultimate expression of power many times. There comes a time to allow wrath that's the only God can do that righteously. Our wrath is backed up with spite and malice and a desire to see people destroyed or hurt or put in their place or whatever it might be. Not so with God. God does everything with a design and a desire. A design and a desire to get you back to where He would love to have you is right with Him and in the presence of God, walking with Him. For us on the earth today, it's in spirit, but one of these days it will be in person. We will walk with Christ. We will walk with God, and we will understand the great love that caused Him to be restrained. You say, wait a minute, Jesus wasn't restrained. And His restraint of His power and glory, He could better reveal that to us so we can understand it, because we're so limited. We're restrained mentally sometimes, aren't we? It's a beautiful thing. What if God, desiring to show His wrath and to make known His power, has endured with much patience the vessels of wrath made for destruction? What's He talking about? He's talking about this vessel of wrath that's made for destruction, this body. Christ became flesh. Listen, this flesh is going away. That's going to disappear one of these days. But who I am in my soul and in my spirit that lies within me, that's really kind of a mysterious thing. Who I am uniquely created to be, I will reside in a new body, in an incorruptible vessel, in a vessel that wrath has been delivered from with God. I can't stand before God just as I am. I can stand before Him boldly when the blood of Jesus, through faith, is symbolically and spiritually placed upon me through faith. God sees that. And then He sees perfection. He sees a vessel that is acceptable. In verse 23, the reason is, in order to make known the riches of His glory for the vessels of mercy. Christ's body became a vessel of mercy. Let me tell you something. Christ in His flesh righteously suffered in His flesh. Christ was homeless, basically. Yeah, He was born in Bethlehem and was from Nazareth. But when He came into His ministry, you know, He was a refugee. He had to flee when He was a little fellow because Satan used men and vessels of wrath to try to kill Him. They had to flee into Egypt. And then they came back, you know, later on when God decreed that He was safe. He was always protected, yet in the flesh He suffered human problems. Not sin, but he thirsted. He was hungry. Let me tell you something. When Jesus went to the cross and was about to go to the cross and they were scourging Him, He could have turned off every one of the pain receptors in His body, but He restrained Himself from doing so. When He was tempted in the wilderness by Satan and He was hungry and He was thirsty, and He could have spoke or even thought, I can make that rock the most buttery, delicious, flaky, fluffy loaf of steaming hot bread or any other thing He wanted to eat. He did not do that because He was restraining Himself to go through what we are restrained to go through. You see, God operates in a perfect way with every time in every way. You see, he could have done that. When he was mocked and spat upon and laughed at and stripped down to the lowest shame as he hung on the cross naked. Think about that. In that vessel, and then that earthly vessel or that fleshly vessel to be treated the way it was, he could have looked at every one of those people and had them obliterated, or had a host of heavenly angels to come down and just wipe the place clean. But he restrained himself and he looked out and he said, Father, this was done from the purest storehouse of love. He looked out upon those people who were broken and who were sinful and who were dirty and who stunk and who were just horrible in their thoughts and horrible in their actions. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So in that lowest place of shame and vulnerability, God's mercy and love was shown in His greatest power. That's the righteous restraint of our Redeemer. Paul talked about that. These vessels of mercy, that body that was scourged, that the hide was literally whipped off his back so you could see his rib cage, that the thorns were, he had a cap of thorns too. He had a crown of thorns, and they put a kingly crown. They go, oh yeah, you're the king of the Jews. Pressed it into his skull. Every bit of that body that was torn into an unimaginable, terrible, bloody mess is and was a vessel of mercy, of God's restraint. God could have said, man, I'm going to just wipe them off the map. And in the flood, he did that to an extent. You say, well, that goes to show you God is kind of a different God than what you're preaching. No, because there was a family and a group of animals that had an ark. And he exercised that mercy. But in Christ, there's that vessel of mercy. And because Jesus suffered a lot of what I suffer, listen, Jesus felt loneliness. He felt human anxiety. Listen, he was flesh, human, but he was 100% God. He suffered, but it was righteous. He acted in anger, but it was righteous. We can't understand that when he flipped over the tables. He got mad. It was an expression of God's mercy that people, that the poorest and the lowest of people would not be blocked from being able to be with God by money. Tell you something, that's a big thing in today's world, is classes of people. I see it every day. Some people, you know, they have that power. They have the money. They live in the big subdivision. They have this, that, and the other. They don't, you know, it's like they don't have to struggle financially sometimes. You know, that's the wrong kind of power. True power and love is putting somebody else ahead of you. It's restraining. You know, it's so easy to fly off the handle sometimes. You know, we struggle with our tempers, and today especially. Well, if you don't agree with what I say, you know, there's people out there now that'll just shoot you. I mean, we've seen that. Run you off the road, burn your house down, firebomb your house. I mean, that's going to probably get worse in this nation. We as Christians are called to be restrained. We are called to be Christ-like. We are called to seek out peace, to exercise the power that we have through the Holy Spirit that comes from the throne of heaven through Jesus Christ for love. Put other people ahead of ourselves. The other day I was going down the road. I was going to go left down on Sloan Mill Road. I was going to take Katie to school. And somebody just jerked out in there right in front of me. And, I mean, missed us by about that much. And it kind of scared me. And first thing I wanted to do was roll the window down, lay on the horn, you know, all this kind of stuff. But I restrained myself from doing that. Nobody was hurt. you know, hopefully they got pulled over or called or whatever they were doing on down the road because they were driving very erratically. Number one, for one thing, it'll get you shot these days. Number two, what does it accomplish? What does it accomplish? You know, to be, and trust me, I don't always get that right, but to restrain, you know, whatever powers God has given me, whatever, you know, authority I may have over people in the workplace, which I don't, or wherever, one of the best things you can do is to restrain it, is to love. It's a Holy Spirit-led thing to say, look, my wrath cannot equal the wrath of God. You have to stop and be prayerful. And I know Jesus did this. I can do a lot of damage today that will last for a long time. Or if I just step back and put somebody else ahead of me, or step back from that anger or that wrath, restrain it, it might equal, and probably will equal, fruit, spiritual fruit on down the road. Days and years. We need to exercise restraint in our lives. Jesus, you know, exercised restraint over a lot of the things that we struggle with every day. Food. He restrained himself. I need to do that. I need to restrain myself from how much I eat sometimes and what I eat. To be restrained, to express the ultimate expression of power in humility. Nobody done that like Jesus did. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. And this shows us some of the things that Isaiah talked about. Isaiah talked more about Christ in the Old Testament than anybody else did, or predicted or prophesied about Jesus. Verse 7 of chapter 53, he was oppressed, talking about Jesus, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Well, that's a big one for us today. Just talking to me. Don't go on Facebook and all this other stuff and you know, what's the right word here? Yeah? Or to make a mess of yourself, if you will, for the whole world to see. In America, we need to talk less and to listen more. You right? Unless we're sharing the gospel and doing it in the right way. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Nowadays, people believe they're being oppressed and they're not. And, oh, it's a day of rage that we live in. Oh, we're going to march and we're going to do this and all this other kind of stuff. That's not what Jesus came to illustrate. So we need to be mindful of that. He said he did not open his mouth. He was like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that before its shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as far as his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. He became restrained, and it was done righteously to regain you for his Father, if you'll come to him in faith. To ultimately illustrate his love and his Father's love. He came and illustrated the kingdom, and he did nothing that would diminish the fact that he was becoming the Messiah, and he was the Messiah, and for his full suffering, for our full redemption, for our full forgiveness. As I said, when he went to the cross, he could have willed all the power of heaven to come down, but he did not. He went through and fulfilled every prophecy. He went through and in power and in humility at the same time, and yes, those do go together, can go together. He won heaven for us.
Thank you so much for listening to the Calvary Baptist Church broadcast. To hear more of this service, other past services, or to learn more about our programs and ministries, feel free to check out our website, calvarybcgainesville.org.
97.5 Glory FM, your family radio station in North Georgia.